The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Access to the newest treatments and most sophisticated testing is so important. It matters where you receive your cancer care. Spend one day with Roswell Park. Visit roswellpark.org.
Today's WBFO Brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
For WBFO News, I'm Tom Berich. Two men were arrested when narcotics investigators executed a search warrant at a residence in a mobile home park yesterday morning on Route 5 in the town of Dunkirk, the Chautauqua County Sheriff's Office reported. Taken into custody were Jesus Aponte Rosario and Filippo Otero Otero, both of Dunkirk. The arrests followed a four-month investigation, the sheriff's office noted. According to the report, officers seized about three-quarters of an ounce of suspected cocaine, a quantity of suspected fentanyl, and some prescription pills, along with two 9mm pistols, two large-capacity magazines, packaging materials, and $778 in cash. Aponte Rosario was charged with third-degree and seventh-degree criminal possession of a controlled substance, two counts of third-degree criminal possession of a weapon, first-degree criminal nuisance, and second-degree criminally using drug paraphernalia. Otero Otero was charged with third-degree criminal possession of a controlled substance. After 2 years of construction, local and state officials announced the completion of a new affordable housing development on Buffalo's east side yesterday. The 46-unit Olympic Avenue apartments are meant to serve Buffalonians with low incomes, and eight of those units are reserved for disabled individuals. The complex is housed in the former Public School 78 building, which was renovated for the project. Buffalo Common Council member Zaneta Everhart attended a ribbon-cutting ceremony at the apartment complex, and she said the project was necessary to address rising rents in the city.
You go anywhere right now in the city of Buffalo, no matter what the neighborhood is, you're going to find a one-bedroom apartment for $1,200. Everyone can't afford that, and we have to understand that we have a big population of people living on a fixed income. And so projects like this help those people to be able to survive and thrive in their communities.
The complex will also house on-site support services as well as community playground and garden. The project cost $19 million. And three Western New York school districts will be getting $13 million in funding from the Environmental Protection Agency to purchase electric school buses. The lion's share of that money will go to the Buffalo City School District, which will receive more than $8.5 million for 25 new electric buses. The rest of the funding will go to Pine Valley Central School District and Sweet Home Central School District. EPA said in a statement that the electric buses will replace traditional diesel-fueled buses, which pollute the air and have been linked to asthma and other conditions. Nationwide, the EPA gave just under $900 million to 530 school districts. The program was created under the 2021 Bipartisan Infrastructure Law.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying griffs find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
A 33-year-old Buffalo woman was arraigned on a misdemeanor charge for allegedly resisting arrest during a pro-Palestine protest at the University at Buffalo's North Campus. The woman was arrested on May 1st when dozens of police officers closed in on the demonstration after protesters refused police orders to disperse at sundown. Prosecutors with the Erie County District Attorney's Office say that the woman attempted to break her plastic handcuffs and laid on the ground to prevent officers from moving her. The woman was also charged with loitering, a non-criminal violation. If convicted, she faces a maximum sentence of 1 year in jail. The arraignment comes after calls from several UB faculty groups to drop all charges against protesters. A group of 31 law faculty members called on UB to drop the charges yesterday, and they argued that the protests were peaceful and undisruptive, and that the university wasn't justified in removing demonstrators for staying 5 minutes after sundown. 14 other arrested protesters have been charged with non-criminal violations, and that number includes seven UB students. And the New York State Senate unanimously passed a bill yesterday that gives the State Department of Parks regulatory jurisdiction to inspect boats operated in underground waters. The bill's passage comes just under a year after a Niagara Falls man was killed and several others were injured in a boat capsizing at the Lockport Cave and Boat Tour. An investigation revealed that no governmental authority at any level oversaw the cave tour. More than a dozen people who were on that capsized boat have sued Lockport and New York State for failing to regulate the tour. The state assembly has yet to vote on the bill. As the New York State legislation session winds down, it appears unlikely that a bill will pass to close a legal loophole that led to the overturning of a rape conviction for former movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. The assembly sponsor of the measure says that could lead to more rapists and child molesters not coming to justice. Karen DeWitt of the New York Public News Network has more.
In April, the state's highest court overturned Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction. In a 4-3 decision, Court of Appeals judges ruled that the prosecutor should not have included the testimony of three women who also said that Weinstein sexually assaulted them because the alleged incidents were not part of the charges against him in the trial. Assemblywoman Amy Paulin is the sponsor of a bill that closes what's become known as the Weinstein loophole. It would amend the laws to allow evidence of previous sex crimes to be admitted in sexual assault trials to show that the person charged might have the propensity to commit the crime. The legislation was approved in the Senate, but Paulin told reporters that the bill does not have enough support among majority party Assembly Democrats to pass.
Is it dead in the Assembly?
Pretty much.
Paulin says without the fix, more sexual abusers will go free.
I was devastated because I believe that without this change, serial rapists will not be convicted in New York as easily as they should be, causing a problem for primarily women out there to be raped. And to me, that's very problematic.
Defendants' rights groups, including the Legal Aid Society, oppose the measure. They say it is too broadly written and could lead to wrongful convictions and adversely affect Black and Latino New Yorkers. Paulin says some progressive members of the assembly agree with those groups. She says other opponents want to wait until 2025 to think more about the issue and craft a better bill. The legislation, as well as other important end-of-session matters, are discussed in closed-door party conferences, so there's no public record of what is said. Governor Kathy Hochul says she believes the legislature should agree to a fix and pass it before they leave for the summer.
Legislature should act on something, yes. Yes. Thanks. Yes, they should.
Paulin says Hochul has not been involved, though, in trying to bring the Senate and Assembly together to agree on one bill.
I would love her input and direct involvement on this bill. We need it.
The Manhattan DA plans to retry Weinstein on the rape charge as early as September. Without passage of the bill, he'll have to operate under the Court of Appeals ruling and won't be able to include testimony from others who say Weinstein committed similar acts. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
And Canadian border workers could go on strike in early June. More than 9,000 union members of the Canada Border Services Agency voted in favor of a strike mandate less than a week ago. And as Dan Karpinchuk reports, experts and political leaders say any strike action could negatively affect the $2.5 billion worth of goods that cross the border each day.
Canada's border officers are represented by the Public Service Alliance of Canada. They've been without a collective agreement for 2 years, and talks appear to have bogged down. With a strike mandate of 96% reached last week, the guards and other border services workers could strike in early June. And a strike at the busiest border crossings with the U.S. could have serious consequences, according to Ian Lee, a professor at Carleton University's School of Business.
If they work to rule and they ask you endless questions, they can slow down that border enormously. And so there's a lot of people going through that border. 5 million in March of this year came back to Canada, 5 million Canadians. And that's not even talking about the $2.5 billion of goods that cross the border daily. So it can have a huge negative impact on the economy.
Lee also says travelers should expect delays. It's not clear if the border crossings would close entirely if there is a strike. In a statement, the Canadian government said it's fully committed to reaching a fair and reasonable agreement with the border services workers, and it says that a strike at this time is unnecessary. Mediation talks are set to begin on Monday. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.